This is Mary Lewis at A Tiny Homestead, the podcast comprised entirely of conversations with homesteaders, cottage food producers, and crafters. Today I'm talking with Andrew at St. Croix Valley Hobby Farm. Good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
Good, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Tell me about yourself and St. Croix Valley Hobby Farm.
So we are a five-person family. I have three daughters, my spouse. We kind of went on a journey across the U.S., chasing the American dream, I could say. We had a little mishap where a candle had destroyed our fire in the basement of our home while I was away at work. And it kind of all set us on this path of St. Croix Valley Hobby Farm. I grew up a little town east of where we're at here in Osceola called Lake Hogan, Wisconsin. Not a very big town, blink of an eye town. Graduated with 18 kids. Was raised on a resort, kind of a hunting, fishing family outpost. My mother had horses and a farm, and it all kind of led us into this whole path. But anyway, the hobby farm is a great location over here in Osceola that community, families can all come over and enjoy. The house fire kind of put us on that path to getting us out of that type of... I'm sorry, Mary, I think I'm struggling here. I don't know if that's something that...
No,
we
you're
can...
good. You're good.
I'm just kind of all over the place, a little nervous, but set us on the path for this where, you know, we're kind of all felt a little lost in life these days. I know it felt a lot more wholesome when I was a kid. So it kind of, in a blessing in disguise, really, it sent us on this journey where we had this idea from a very loving family, Little Blues Traveling Zoo, if you've ever heard of them.
Yes.
They run the traveling farm over in Lindstrom, Minnesota. And they were telling me one night after the fire about their operation and, you know, that it's a very rewarding operation where you get to see a lot of people that are... healing themselves and also just getting therapy from being with the animals. It's kind of incredible how much they can do for you. But we ran into them one night at one of their events in Osceola, and they told us about the traveling side, and we were still kind of lost. I was traveling for work, and I ended up going back to work for about another year after the fire, and we decided to take a leap of faith, and we came up with an idea that if we had this farm, you know, during the wintertime, it's not always the best for business, and it's not all about business by any means either. We just, you got to have funds there to support the animals and make sure you're making a very large commitment for 15 to 20 years with most livestock, if not more. So anyway, one of the hurdles that we had was, we didn't have any activity in the wintertime is what the general consensus of the traveling side was. So as gracious as Ron and Renee were and Irene and everybody else at Little Blue, they spoke kind of like that it was a little more worrisome in the wintertime for that kind of activity. So we came up with an idea that maybe if we had a farm that was heated, the barn was heated, we had other things that people could come and enjoy, farmers markets, selling local goods to help out not only our business, but other members of the community, of society. So that's kind of where it all generated. We found a spot along the highway, well-traveled, great location, put up a beautiful barn. You know, it had to be appealing so people could see it from the highway so that they might stop in, remember it, intrigue their interest or their curiosity. But again, it was all just part of an idea that just kept growing and growing, and we took a leap of faith and kept taking steps forward.
Yeah, that's all you can do is put one foot in front of the other after a tragedy like that. As long as your loved ones are alive and healthy, there's always a way forward.
Right. And that's what it seemed like to me. You know, that was the biggest concern is when she made that phone call that night, it felt like an hour had passed, but it was probably only 15 seconds where I was asking nicely at first where the children were. And then it turned into screaming, like, just tell me where the kids are. 'Cause,
yeah,
you know, in the moment, you don't realize it. And I look back now and I understand, you know, she was in total shock. And I thought in my head, you know, the worst. And then a lot of times people do that, and it's an unnecessary thing, but, you know, you can't control it sometimes. So by the time she told me that the kids were out, you know, I was relieved. But little did we realize that it would set us on this path, you know, and that it's an amazing thing how the world works, how God works. It's just, it's unbelievable.
It is. It's every time someone says that to me, it makes me stop. You don't know what your life is going to be beyond the moment that you're in.
Right.
And so when things happen, and I understand when you got the phone call about the fire that you were screaming, because panic is not a place to come from when you want to be articulate and reasonable. And so it makes sense that you were not calm in that moment. But
right.
I think that the world provides you what you need. And in this case, this is what you needed. But Tell me about what you guys do at the hobby farm. Do you hold events?
So we got an event set up for Easter weekend right now that we're going to put together a Easter egg hunt, multiple age groups. You'll be able to go out and hunt Easter eggs out in the pasture, out in the field surrounding the area. Mm-hmm. Farm Crawl, that's another big event that's coming up that we're really excited about. We're glad that Sarah and everybody on the Farm Crawl committee reached out to us. They have a 12 business, kind of like a, I don't know if you'd, more like a family-friendly kind of business, poker run type of thing, where you kind of just go around and you check out everybody else's businesses. It's a small admission you can buy online. Mm-hmm. It offers different things at each business that you go to with that admission. So that's something that's pretty big. That's Mother's Day from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it seemed like they kind of put that together during the COVID years, which was a big thing for people to get out and about and go see kind of the outdoors again. But we're excited about that, and there's plenty more to come. We have 8 Nigerian dwarf goats, 2 micro cows, 4 alpacas, 2 mini potbelly pigs, a couple barn kitties, of course our cavapoos and our lop-eared rabbits. But we look to provide a lot of those services in the metro, in the surrounding region to bring joy. And I mean, it's just, it's incredible. The amount of smiles that I see is one thing that really brightens my days up. And the amount of moments that you can see that people are kind of having together and, you know, just getting away from disconnecting from the world again. But, what we have offered her right now though is, basically you come inside the barn with the animals. It's a hands-on experience. We don't try to offer feed or treats or anything like that. We'd like to be able to brush our animals more, interact with them more on a level that's healthy for our animals and not just for the entertainment of others. And mm-hmm. They also, you know, there's a lot more things that go on with the animals that people don't see, where there's a pecking order for sure. And some people kind of push each other around on the playground, trying to get each other's food. And, you know, that stuff's real unhealthy. And if you're not with them every day, you don't really see that. So, that's what we have right now to offer, but there's plenty more to come. Our alpacas they were special need therapy alpacas at a farm from, Roots and Wings over in Watertown, Minnesota. Incredible farm, incredible family. They thought they'd have more product to do with the fiber from the shearing of the animals, but they only do that once a year, so the product would run pretty limited after a short amount of time. So they're switching up to milking goats, still doing incredible things over there. Again, they're an amazing, amazing group, but the alpacas are just incredible animals. They lay down a lot of times next to you and cush by you. They allow you to pet their backs and their necks pretty routinely. And they're very curious, very smart. But two of them are able to walk on harnesses. So you'll be able to walk animals down through the walking trails. One of the micro cows can walk on a harness, so that'll be available too. And if you ever take an animal for a walk, there's something that brings peace to your soul just in that alone. But that's kind of stuff we're looking to offer. We have a trail that goes down through the woods that we're going to kind of transition for different events throughout the year. Haunted trails, corn mazes, stuff of that nature.
So your business is all about fun, but it's all about calm and joy and peace too.
We try to be. It gets a little wild in there sometimes with the 2 to 5 year olds. You never know what you're going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So do you guys do anything to prevent any kind of disease being brought onto the property? Because I know back during COVID, a lot of farms would have people, you know, wash their hands before they touch the animals, or I don't know, hose their shoes off or something. Do you guys do any of that?
We try to keep as much sanitizer around as possible. Hand washing stations will be available. We have a septic system set up so that we will have full bathrooms, functional sinks. That's just a part of the process. It was pretty well a cornfield Labor Day weekend, and we were trying to get the doors open mid-December. So there's been a pretty big lengthy project in a short amount of time, but that doesn't disregard safety or health. So as of right now, the most that we do for precautionary measures for the animals is regular vet checks. Vaccines are up to date. All their health is in good order. The people that come in, I guess we haven't been requiring them to wash their hands, but you bringing that up has really, really opened my eyes on that subject. So definitely an aspect that I wasn't thinking about. I was thinking more of their own health and their own vaccines and stuff of that. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, I just would hate to have something come in and wipe out any of your animals, because that would be really sad.
Right, for sure.
We have barn cats, and we have a house dog. We have a pet dog. And so my dog goes outside, and the cats love her. So they come up, and they rub on her and purr and try to get her to interact with them. And we also pet the cats because they're friendly. They could be house cats, but I don't want a house cat.
Right.
And after I'm done petting the cats, I always wash my hands because they're not indoor cats, and I don't want to pick up ringworm or anything from them, you know?
Right, right.
And so I'm always aware of that. That's why I was asking. Okay, so when people come to your place, they get to interact with all the animals. Like they can pet them, they can walk the ones that have harnesses, they can get their fill of being around the animals.
Yep. There's an enclosure that has gates on each side that goes inside the barn, where most of the time they are spending their days, their evenings. As long as if it's a beautiful day out and there's no weather, they go outside and they spend most of their day out there. But ideally, in the summertime, the door will be open the entire time. The garage door will be open. The animals will be outside in the pasture. You'll have the choice to walk wherever they are. It's up to the animal, really, how much interaction you get to. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you know, early in the week, I see them pretty active. They're very friendly. They're very compassionate. You can just kind of almost feel like it. They have a lot more feeling and energy and consciousness than people say. A lot of studies are good, though. There's quite a few that say that they understand a lot more than we know, and yeah. I believe that. So it's up to them on interaction, and I don't try to push them or force them to do anything, but it almost seems like if you're gentle with them, they kind of understand what's going on, and that's where you run into the problem with the 2 to 5 year olds. You might not know which one you're going to get. Sometimes there's some that are scared. Sometimes there's some that are you know, chasing after the animals, and that kind of scares them a little more. So if I can suggest anything, you know, people just take their time, move slowly, let the animal trust you, and then they end up coming around and being more friendly.
That's awesome. I love that they have a job. The animals have a job, but they love their job, apparently.
Right, right. That's great. And that's some days where, you know, you get asked a lot of stuff, and you take some fire, too, and people about being in cages or being in, Our animals are spoiled. We love them. They're our family. I don't know how else you could not keep them in a cage. To be honest, I mean, they're livestock still at the end of the day, and you got to have somewhere safe, a safe space for them. So if they can get attention and interact with humans and still feel comfortable and safe, I'm all about it. Because there's something, like I said, that the animals bring to you, and it's not the same thing for everybody, but it's an incredible feeling sometimes, and I see some people enjoying that moment, and it's a special thing to know that we built something for those people.
Yeah, and I don't want to slam the big zoos that are around, like I don't know, the big city zoos.
Right.
But I'm guessing that your animals probably get more interaction and more love and more care than some of the animals at the big city zoos get, because it's a different setup. It's a more intimate setup where you are.
For sure. For sure. It's kind of a one of a kind thing. We far from expected it, but again, it just seems like it's above us, and things have just come together that I've never seen things work so well. So I just, like I said, we chalk it up as a blessing in disguise, and we'll just keep our heads down and keep trying to stay on the mission that was handed to us.
Yeah. So how many hours a week is involved in your business? I mean, is it all day, every day until you go to sleep? Or is it like, can you quantify it?
It's been all day, every day till I go to sleep. And it's not just that, I'd say, but you got to balance the rest of your life with it too. And if you know how family life can get, and traveling sports leagues and all the opportunity, and just the way the world is today, how busy it is, it seems to be an all day, every day thing. There sure is some gaps here and there, but yeah, you're down there twice a day at least, and most of the time you're worried and you're wondering what the animals are doing. And it's nice to have, I do have some surveillance around the property, being that we don't live there. It's nice to be able to check on them. Last night, one of the alpacas wasn't feeling very well, kind of got some of its feed stuck in its esophagus. So the vet was there on site with us, and those types of things are nice to have a little bit of surveillance. Or, we've talked about possibly moving to the property just to be there more. But yeah, it's an all day thing. It starts usually with feeding and clean up a lot of their manure and their waste, and make sure that their environment is just as clean as anybody's, because that's one big thing with the multiple species living in the same environment. Is you don't want to cross contaminate. You don't want your alpacas and your goats' feces be laying all over and mixing in with the hay or the feed or where they're eating. That can really give different parasites to different species. So you really got to pay attention to your cleanliness, and then you just kind of go from there into projects of what you're going to do next, how you're going to develop things, how you're going to make it a safer environment for your animals, a safer environment for your customers. That it all just keeps on kind of transpiring as you go, and seems like it just fills the plate up more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it does. You're handling many animals, and you're handling the interaction with people, and you're handling the business end of the whole thing. It's right. A lot to do.
Right. Then you got to do a podcast with Mary Lewis too. So
yeah,
that really adds it on there.
Yes. I'm so sorry to pile on.
No, not at all. I was a little nervous, and it's been a pleasure though so far. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's really fun to talk to people about what they're doing out in the world. I wasn't sure whether I should ask you or not, because I wasn't sure that your business was kind of under the umbrella of what I'm trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But you are building a business based around animals outside on a farm. That's some homesteading stuff right there. Yeah.
Right.
You definitely fit. Okay, so do you guys do, I don't even know how to ask this. Do you do events where people come in and hang out and visit the animals and have food and drinks or anything? Or is it strictly just they come to visit with the animals?
So far, it's been strictly just coming to visit with the animals. So we're open to the public 11 to 7 p.m. Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
You basically you just come in and whenever you please, and you check in, pay admission, and then you go. The admission's good all day too. So if you are local or you have a little one, you know I know what it's like having kids and. You know, sometimes you need a nap, sometimes you just need a break, sometimes you got to go get lunch. So we offer admission, good all day. It's going to, hopefully turn into more of, something where you can come and get something to eat or maybe stop at the farmer's market, see what they have available, see what the local vendors are selling out in the parking lot. And if you want to come check out the animals, great. If you want to stand outside and look at them from the fence, that's fine too. We're not looking for anything on that side, but we are definitely trying to get to that point. We've had some setups for private birthdays. We have a grain bin gazebo that we're going to decorate and kind of put lighting, lawn furniture out in the gazebo. And then it'll have its own fence around it, and you'll be right out in the pasture with the animals. So they'll, in a sense, surround you around the fence outside of your little private area space. And then you'll also be able to have an access gate where you can walk in with the animals and interact with them if you please at your will. So
Fun, fun.
slowly getting there.
Okay. Do you educate people about the animals? Like, if someone has questions about the alpacas, will you teach them about them?
I try to the best of my knowledge, and I've been blessed again with the previous owners of the alpacas. They gave me a lot of literature, a lot of DVDs, different things, even their own hand notes on their care for their alpacas. So I try to give the best education I can and my abilities at this point, but I'm also not afraid to say that I don't know everything and I never will, you know. It's a learning thing, and every day I learn more and more, and it just shocks me about some days how little I didn't thought I knew, you know. So I'm not afraid of that or ashamed of it, but I sure will try to educate as many people as I can, and we hope to do some sort of, we talked about some pre-K stuff. My wife works over at the elementary as a pre-K, I don't know if the word these days is aide, but she works with the pre-K teacher, and she absolutely loves the kids. The kids love her. So we've talked about possibly doing some kind of pre-K on the farm where maybe we can instill some, you know, hard work, good ethic, and stuff into children as they get up and get ready to face this world that we live in today.
That's brilliant. That sounds like a really great idea. The reason I asked if you educate people about the animals is because we went to the baby animal day at the farm where we got our dog. Last year, I think it was, might have been two springs ago. But my dog is 3 and a half now, so she's not a puppy anymore. But we got her as a puppy from this farm, and we're friends with the owners. And when we got there, I think they had 21 puppies. And my friend asked me if I would be willing to share what I could tell somebody about our dog. And I was like, to everybody here? And she said, no. There's a lady over here who wants to know what it's like owning this kind of dog. Would you chat with her? And I was like, yes. And I'm really shy. I do not like talking to strangers in person. So this lovely woman walks over and she's like, she said you have one of the puppies, the siblings to these puppies. And I said, yes, we do. And she said, how's it gone? And I said, it's gone fantastic. And she said, do you have more to say? I was like, yes, I do. And explained about how we got our dog when she was a day shy of 8 weeks old and we didn't know what we were doing, blah, 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 blah. Talked to her for 20 minutes from day shy of 8 weeks to the point that our dog was at. And she said, so what you're telling me is if I don't have any way to exercise this dog, don't get one. I said, pretty much. I said, they need to be run like twice a day. and you can walk them, but running is better. And our dog's an Australian Shepherd. They're a herding dog, and
right.
they need a job.
Love exercise, right?
Yeah. And so after 20 minutes, she was like, well, thank you for sharing with me. I said, are you going to get one? She said, I sure am. I said, okay. And my friend came back over, who was the owner of the farm and the pups. And she said, what did you say to her? I said, I told her we have a great dog. And she said, in 20 minutes time, you said we have a great dog. I said, well, there was a lot more to it, but yes.
Right.
So my friend enlisted me to help educate this lady about what was involved in this particular breed. And I had no idea what was going to happen. So that put me on the spot. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this. And then I realized that I did. So you probably know more than you think you do. And you are helping to educate people about the animals that you have.
Yeah, some days for sure. And you know, a lot of common sense goes a long ways. And not to mention, I have a great support system. I mean, Little Blues Traveling Zoo, the folks over there, the people at Wheels and Wing, my brain locked up there for a second.
The place you mentioned earlier,
Wings, yeah. So anyway, They're amazing. My vet over at Osceola Vet, they're great people. They're always willing to help. They're so informational, so educational themselves. It's just, if I do come across something, you know, it's just a phone call away usually, where somebody's had some sort of experience. Last night, I think I called three people with when Maple, our 2-year-old alpaca, she was choking a little bit on her food. You know, to me, it looked like it was something pretty severe, and she was still able to breathe quite a bit. It was just kind of a blockage in her throat. So that educated me on a lot of things that right there. And you know, when she was laying her head in my arms, I just wanted her to be better, and that's all that really matters. So if I can get more educated, I definitely will keep on trying. And I got a big responsibility to take care of them. So I'm ready to do that. And if I can help other people along the way, like they're helping me, that'd be amazing too.
Okay. I have one last question for you. What is your favorite thing about what you're doing?
I'm going to have to go back to the smiles and just seeing, you know, I ask some of the kids a lot of times, or people when they're leaving, and I'm always asking, well, who your favorite animal was, or just to see their response. And you know, you can see sometimes magic in their eyes when they're playing with the animals, or, you know, that's it right there. That's just one thing that you don't see every day, because everybody's just racing around 100 miles an hour, trying to get to the next place, trying to think of the next thing to say, the next thing that they want to say. You know, you don't see all that anymore. And a lot of times when I was digging those post holes, I wanted to quit. I did most of the fencing by hand with just a post hole digger, and my body hurt. But there was a lot of times where I would think, because there's a lot of cars that pass through there, and I would think, because I know my three daughters and I know all the places we've been, that somebody in one of those cars is excited, and I can't wait till they get to have that excitement for them, you know, to be there with the animals, and the animals get to feel that too, because I know they can, and it's just amazing that animals and humans can interact like that and bring so much joy to each other. So I guess that would be my answer.
That's a great answer. All right, Andrew, thank you so much for sharing your time with me today.
Okay. You too, Mary. It was a pleasure.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.